GOB 44, Squaring the Circle. Country File investigates my fat backside. I used to watch Country File every week because, in the old days, sandwiched between Sheepdog Charles and hedge laying, there was a snippet or two about conservation or bird life. Things changed a while back when it seemed to have turned into a programme about middle-class white folk. Oh, I'll read that again. About middle-class city folk doing extreme sports in the wild corners of the British landscape. Thankfully, it moved back from the bungee jumper's brink and now straddles the fence between being the archers without a storyline and, hey-ho, let's look at pretty flowers and butterflies. I still tune into Radio 4 for my daily injection of government propaganda. Hello, Ruth Archer. What are you be a-doing then, me dearie-o? Well, lovable old rogue and cap-touching peasant, I'm just ranting about how badgers are ruining my livelihood by spreading TB and undermining the slurry pit. Country File gets its injection of farming today via the most articulate farmer since the late lamented Ted Moult. We all learn about how rare breeds are doing and what GM crops are like from someone who loves the land, although I see no great move on his part to pare back on the chemicals unless it's to make farming cheaper and profits greater. He does eloquently make the case for many farmers, especially tenants, being at the mercy of supermarkets, international prying. And the common agricultural policy. To us great unwashed viewers, it did appear that John Craven had been merely shuffled into a corner of his own to investigate the larger questions of the day to soften the blow of his lesser role. However, to my mind, that slot is as toothless as a medieval crone with scurvy. We tend to be told about something having four digits and a thumb on the one hand and of having only five fingers on the other. All very balanced and bland. More worrying to me is that its balance is, shall we say, rather more Daily Mail than independent. I have been moved on occasion to wonder if the programme holds shares in a multinational agrochemical business or is a card-carrying member of the Countryside Alliance. You certainly don't get the impression that those associated are hunt saboteurs or even weekly subscribers to an organic food box. But even in the context of a string of episodes beginning to look like Mr. Bland wears beige when he walks down the middle of the road, the last one I watched hit a new low. And this is where those of you waiting to discover the pertinence of the title of this piece are rewarded for your patience. Having discovered through this investigation of the facts that domestic cats were responsible for the demise of as many as 25% of some of our bird species, the presenter concluded that cats were no threat to our native birds. What was even worse was an RSPB spokesman backing this up by saying that we don't have to worry about cats, the real problem is all about land use. Anyone who watched the way that some village cats were shown on a recent documentary to wander miles into surrounding countryside every night might now be assured that there's no problem. All those apologists who dismiss Mr. Fluffy's antics as just part of nature when he deposits the headless corpse of a house sparrow on their doorstep will now feel completely vindicated. Would we be as myopic if we were told that poachers only kill 25% of baby pandas every year? Would conservationists sigh with relief if told that only a quarter of bees are killed by the practice of moving hives from one farm to another? If it's really no biggie, then we should not show concern. Change how we keep our pets. If it's not a problem because it only affects 25% of a species, then surely these greater concerns must account for the loss of an even greater percentage. Let's say it's only another 25%. This still means that half the birds are dying because of us. And if you add this to all the truly natural causes of death, it can mean only one thing, a disastrous decline. Guess what, folks? Our birds are in disastrous decline. Just because the floodwaters are about to engulf our house is no reason to stop worrying about our neighbour's house being on fire. Do you remember being a kid and asking your friends how they'd rather die by drowning or burning to death? Even as kids we knew that either way would be a goner. And just in case anyone out there thinks this is just this lone, grumpy old sod banging on about cats again, wake up and smell the house burning, as a 4-year study by Canada's scientists has concluded that the human-related bird mortality in Canada each year amounts to 269 million bird deaths. Moreover, their report concludes, cats appear to kill as many birds as all other sources combined. Feral and pet cats are believed to kill more than 100 million birds per year in Canada. Bird species that nest or feed on or near the ground are especially vulnerable to cat predation. As these findings confirm that huge numbers of Canadian birds are killed by cats annually, further research and conservation efforts are needed. So don't just take my word for it. That's the end.